Web Radio. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back into the Doctor's Lounge. I'm your host, Dr. Hal Schurz, and you are on America's Web Radio, part of America's Broadcast Network. Each week we have you come into the Doctor's Lounge and learn about the healthcare issues that you need to know about so that you can be armed with the information that you need to fight for your healthcare freedom. This show is brought to you by the Docs for Patient Care Foundation. Docs for Patient Care Foundation is the only physician-led healthcare think tank in the country, operated by doctors who are in active medical practice every day, who know the issues in healthcare and help bring these issues to you and share the information with you. The Docs for Patient Care Foundation is all about the doctor-patient relationship and fighting for healthcare freedom for Americans all around the country. So please give generously to the Docs for Patient Care Foundation. You can find us at www.d4, that's the number 4, d4pcfoundation.org. We need your help, we need your support, so we can continue to bring shows like this to you each week. Before I get into the meat of the show, I just want to acknowledge the events of yesterday in Washington, D.C., which were tragic. It's gotten to the point where we can't have any kind of discourse without this kind of fear of repercussions for people who disagree with the things that people are thinking these days, and I certainly hope they come to an end, and we wish Congressman Scalise a speedy and rapid recovery. This topic that we're going to talk about today is probably a little bit in the weeds, and we're going to try to bring this to a level that people will understand it and realize why it's very important for them to understand about what we're going to talk about today, which is certificate of need. What is certificate of need? Why should that even matter to you? Yesterday in the Wall Street Journal, I had a piece in there that ran a couple of days ahead of a meeting that the Docs for Patient Care Foundation is going to be putting on in Washington, D.C. tomorrow. This is going to bring together people who are working in this area, trying to develop a strategy and shared experiences so that we can try to put an end to what is probably one of the most onerous laws that is responsible for healthcare costs being as high as they are. And we'll get more into that with our special guest this morning. My guest is an academic this morning. It's someone who has done a lot of work in certificate of need, somebody who I admire greatly for the writings that he has done. I've relied on a lot of this for many of the opinion pieces that I've written and some of the talks that I've given as well. The bulk of the academic research that's being done in certificate of need work comes out of the Mercatus Center at George Mason University in Virginia. And professors there, the scholars there, have really done a yeoman's job at looking at the claims that proponents for certificate of need have put out there, and they've debunked all of those claims. Nobody better than our guest this morning, Matthew Mitchell, who is an adjunct professor at George Mason University. He is a scholar at the Mercatus Center, and he has written in the Wall Street Journal, in the Washington Post, in the New York Times, and other places in addition to the great work that appears on the Mercatus website, and I encourage everyone to go to Mercatus Center and look up Matthew Mitchell and the work that the other scholars at the Mercatus Center have done in Certificate of Need work, and also other free market topics. So without any further ado, Matt, welcome into the Doctor's Lounge. Matt, you with us? Okay, we have a little technical glitch. Is he with us now?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, now we can hear you. Yeah. Good morning. How are you?
I'm well. How are you? Thanks so much for having me.
Well, thanks for being with us this morning, Matt. And, you know, I think that this is a topic that we're going to discuss today, Certificate of Need, that I think needs to be developed a little bit. And that's why this is a great show, because we can chat about things, develop the topic, and then kind of get a little bit into some of the minutia. And so... Yeah, why don't you explain to the people listening what Certificate of Need is and why they should be concerned about it?
Sure. So first of all, I would be remiss if I didn't recommend your article in the Wall Street Journal yesterday on the topic. It does as good a job as I think any writing I've seen explaining what it is and what its consequences are in fewer than 700 words. So I really commend it.
Thank you so much.
To your listeners. So Certificate of Need is a law that the first time I heard about it, and I suspect this is true of many people, I couldn't believe it existed because it just sort of seems so silly that something like this would exist. First of all, let me back up and note that if you look at both the statements of policymakers and the platforms of the two major parties, both of them identify access to health care in recent years as one of the most important goals of any sort of healthcare reform, of any sort of health policy. Getting people access to high-quality care is really a no-brainer. So what is a Certificate of Need law? Well, a Certificate of Need law is a law that is found in 35 states in the District of Columbia. And it says that if you want to open a healthcare facility, if you want to add a hospital bed, an MRI machine, or a CT scanner, if you want to open a burn care unit or a neonatal intensive care unit, it covers some states have required certificates of need for all these things, for up to, you know, something like 39, 40 different procedures. Others are just a few procedures. But if you want to expand or offer a new healthcare facility, what you need to do is go before a board and convince them that your community needs the service or the product you are hoping to offer. Now, in the process of convincing them that you should get the Certificate of Need, they will not ask you about your qualifications, your quality record, your safety record. All of that is regulated through other processes, board certification and the like. Instead, the Certificate of Need process is simply designed to assess whether your community wants the service or not. Now, in 99.9% of all other markets, that type of a question is answered by consumers who either favor a service offer with their dollars or don't. And the viability, you know, the economic viability of a product is determined based on market forces. Now, in healthcare, in these 35 states, the boards will attempt to determine whether the community needs the product. And if you, the provider, are trying to convince them that your community needs it, you can expect to spend tens, sometimes hundreds of thousands of dollars, and 3, 4, 5 years trying to convince the board that your service is needed. In the process, the board will solicit the opinion of your would-be competitors, people who are already in the business. And they can go before the board and submit both written documentation, and sometimes in some states they can go and testify and make arguments as to why, all things being considered, they would prefer not to have any competitors. So it's really a pretty extraordinary type of rule. It's one that antitrust officials in the Department of Justice and the Federal Trade Commission have long opposed. In fact, they go before state legislators and make the case that these rules are blatantly anti-competitive. It's one that most economists that have studied the issue oppose and say are anti-competitive. And yet it's an issue, a policy that I think is rarely discussed and rarely acknowledged, and in part because it's sort of a complicated, arcane regulatory rule. And, you know, the people who really know about it are the incumbent firms, the hospitals that tend to benefit from it. And so they are the ones who, whenever it's discussed in a state that, you know, maybe we should get rid of the certificate of need law, those hospitals put all the political pressure they can to try to maintain it.
Now, the reason why the hospitals prevail is because they are, in many municipalities, one of the largest employers in that area, and they control the Chamber of Commerce, and they very often have people who work for them who sit in state legislatures. Isn't that correct?
Yes, that's absolutely right. And there's a phenomenon in political economy. Economists refer to the problem of concentrated benefits and diffuse costs. And what this refers to is the fact that many policies benefit a select small group of people, but they impose costs on a wide and diffuse group of people. And even if you can show through economic analysis and data that the costs outweigh the benefits, the fact that the benefits are concentrated on so few, while the costs are dispersed across so many, tends to put the political balance in favor of the few, because it's much easier to organize one or two hospitals than it is to organize 1 or 2 million consumers. And chances are, as I said before, the consumers probably don't even know that these laws exist or that they are standing in the way of their access to health care.
So for the benefit of people who have no idea what we're talking about, can you briefly explain how this even got started?
Yeah. So it began in the 1960s. New York was the first state to adopt a certificate of need law.
Matt, we have 1 minute, so just let's hold that.
Sure.
And what we'll do is we'll get into the history of this, and then what I'd like to do is get into some of the reasons why the hospitals can have given for the perpetuation of this, and then talk about some of the Mercatus research that much of which you have done that has debunked all of these so-called rationales for continuation of certificate of need.
That sounds great.
So we'll get back with our guest, Matthew Mitchell, when we return into the Doctor's Lounge. Stay with us.
The Docs for Patient Care Foundation is your way to join the fight and become a member of an organization created by doctors for patients, dedicated to fighting for your health care freedom and preserving the doctor-patient relationship. Get a pen and paper. Write down docsforpatientcarefoundation.org. That's D-O-C-S, the number 4, patientcarefoundation.org. Go to our site and please make a generous tax-deductible donation and join the fight today. Thank you.
Coming soon, only on AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. The Insurance Deal.
The Docs for Patient Care Foundation is your way to join the fight and become a member of an organization created by doctors for patients, dedicated to fighting for your healthcare freedom and preserving the doctor-patient relationship. Get a pen and paper. Write down www.docsforpatientcarefoundation.org. That's www.docsforpatientcarefoundation.org. Go to our site and please make a generous tax-deductible donation and join the fight today. Thank you.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com.
Thank you for listening.
We're back in the Doctor's Lounge. My guest this morning is Matthew Mitchell, Senior Research Fellow and the Director of the Project for the Study of American Capitalism at the Mercatus Center at George Mason University. We were talking about Certificate of Need. That's what this show is about today and why this should matter to you. So, Matt, please let's continue. How did this start?
Yeah, so it grew out of the 1960s and 70s. New York was the first state to implement a Certificate of Need law, and a few others joined over the next few years. But the real impetus was a 1974 federal statute called the National Health Planning and Resources Development Act. Now, the interesting thing about this statute is you read the first couple pages, and it becomes really clear that the goal here was to really correct for previous policy or what Congress believed to be their own mistakes, previous policy mistakes. So the first couple lines of the National Health Planning and Resources Development Act talk about how federal policies have led to healthcare price inflation. So healthcare price inflation was a concern 40 years ago, just as it is today. And they felt that federal control and dollars involved in healthcare and then certain policies such as the exclusion of employer-provided health insurance and had created third-party payer problems and basically led to too much spending. And so they came up with this idea of withholding federal matching funds to states that did not implement Certificate of Need laws. And so over the next few years, basically every state but Louisiana implemented Certificate of Need laws in order to make sure that they maintained access to these federal dollars. In the 1980s, as evidence mounted that these policies were counterproductive, didn't seem to achieve the goals set out in the federal act, and as Medicare changed some of its reimbursement policies, they used to have a policy of basically, it was known as cost-plus reimbursement, where they would reimburse hospitals for whatever expenses they had, and instead came to a slightly better reimbursement formula. As that happened, Congress decided to repeal the federal act. And then over the course of the next couple decades, 15 states have now repealed their Certificate of Need laws. And that's very helpful from the scientific perspective because now we can compare what's going on in the states that have Certificate of Need laws and what's going on in the states that don't have them.
Okay, so claims have been made by proponents of Certificate of Need, the hospitals and the other entrenched interests that benefit from this market advantage of having monopolies in their cities around the country. They've used arguments at the legislative level, at the states, to continue the Certificate of Need laws and prevent the opponents who wish to see these laws repealed. So can you go through some of their arguments, and let's talk about the research that you've done that has really disproved all of the arguments. There's not one single argument that has been made that has been substantiated.
Yeah, that's right. So a lot of this goes back to that federal statute, which again laid out about five or six different goals, some of which are sort of obviously unlikely to be met. So one of the goals is to increase access to health care. Well, it seems odd that a limit on the provision of health care or a supply limit would ever increase access. And sure enough, research conducted by my colleagues, but also by economists over the last several decades, has found no, states that have Certificate of Need laws seem to be associated with fewer hospitals, with fewer ambulatory surgical centers, with fewer dialysis clinics, with fewer hospice care centers. It's also associated with fewer hospital beds and decreased access to things like CT scanners, MRI machines, and PET scans. residents in con states are more likely to have to travel out of the county in search of medical care and tend to drive further in order to get medical care. So the idea that restricting the supply of care will somehow increase the supply of care, not surprisingly, has been relatively soundly refuted by
when people are actually making these arguments. I mean, doesn't it seem ridiculous? How do they even give these arguments? Justify backing these arguments and doing it straight faced? It's so.
Yeah. When I
submitted the article to the Wall Street Journal and gave this as an excuse, I had to explain to the editor that no, this is real. This is not.
Yeah, real people think this.
Yes.
Yeah. So I think probably one of the most common arguments I run into is this idea of, okay, yes, we know that we're creating a monopoly, but by doing that, what we're doing is we're allowing the hospitals that have a monopoly to be a little bit more profitable, and then we can direct them to do things that we want. So, for example, perhaps by giving them a monopoly, we can encourage charity care. We can encourage them to offer care, uncompensated care.
I see.
Or they'll say, maybe what we can do is, by doing this, we'll stop the low-cost, we'll stop people from skimming away some of the higher-paying patients or the mm-hmm. better-insured patients.
I see.
So they'll use a phrase called
cherry-picking.
Yes, yes. And so the idea there is, you know, they'll say things that the ambulatory surgery centers and the like, they come in and they poach, you know, the high-paying, well-insured patients away from hospitals, particularly urban hospitals, they'll argue, and therefore leaving the urban hospitals with the patients that are less likely to be insured.
Okay, so certificate of need states then clearly do more charity work, right?
Well, yes, that's what you would expect to find in the data if that argument were true, and that does not show up in the data. It turns out that there is no greater incidence of charity care in states that are certificate need states relative to states that are not.
So how do they get away with this?
Well, I think the argument, perhaps the cream skimming argument, is somewhat plausible. I think it's not a theory that on its face is totally crazy. It does go against other theories, which suggest that if you limit supply, you're going to limit access to care. So the real answer is found in the data. And I think that, to be honest, a lot of policymakers just aren't interested in getting into the weeds in the data. And when they're sitting across the table from a hospital association representative, who frankly knows the issue pretty well, and they often have nobody that is coming in and taking the side of consumers or would-be competitors, because the odds are just stacked against them. So I think it's not entirely surprising that they win.
One of the arguments that has been explained and looked at by the Mercatus Center that has been used as justification for the certificate of need laws, which I'd like you to expand on also, Matt. The hospitals, the proponents, claim that if you have certificate of need laws, then you ensure enhanced care and access in rural communities.
Mm-hmm.
How is that even? Explain that logic and how they make that case and how that's just not been the case.
Yeah, it's basically the same sort of argument. It's just applied to, you can substitute rural for, general communities. And the basic idea is, that if you allow small-time ambulatory surgery centers. These are clinics that you can walk in and walk out after getting knee surgery or something like that. You typically don't stay long. That somehow this is going to skim away, cream skim all the high-paying, high well-insured people. But, you know, we find that states with certificate of need laws not only have fewer hospitals and fewer ambulatory surgery centers in general, they also have fewer rural hospitals and fewer rural ambulatory surgery centers. So it just doesn't, it doesn't stack up.
And this is a particularly damaging issue. It's harmful to patients because rural care in America is really a significant issue, and people are often traveling hundreds of miles, often out of state, to get care, aren't they?
Yeah, and let me tell you a story that I think really encapsulates it. So, you know, I and other economists are often convinced by big data sets and well-constructed econometric models that are, you know, show statistically significant results. But sometimes just a single story can capture it better than, you know, 1,000 pages of regression analysis. So let me tell you this story. There is a rural community in southwest Virginia where there is a hospital named Lewis Gale. And Lewis Gale has applied for a number of years for a certificate of need for a neonatal intensive care unit. And for a number of years, that request has been denied. A few years ago, a mother shows up at the hospital in premature labor. There are complications. The baby is born. They need to transport, they have no neonatal intensive care unit, so they need to transport the baby to the nearest facility. They lack a certificate of need for the ambulance to transport a baby with complications to the nearest facility. So they have to ask the facility to send their own ambulance. They do, and by the time the ambulance arrives, unfortunately the baby had died. Now, Lewis Gale put this in their one of their applications. They noted this in one of their applications for certificate of need. This was not found to be convincing evidence that the community needs the service in question. So, you know, we can talk about the fact that certificate of need laws don't decrease spending, that they don't increase access to care, that they don't increase the number of hospital beds or any of that stuff. The fact of the matter is they stand in the way of people's access to care that they need and that they want.
Unbelievable. You know, these are the things that our side does such a bad job of articulating, the stories that really that underscore what the problem is. You know, we talk about statistics and we talk about data and facts, but it's really the personal stories that really hit home and
that's right.
This is the problem. This is why people need to be involved in this. This is why they need to understand this, and this is why we're going to be putting on this conference tomorrow in Washington, which I'll get into a little bit. And we're so excited that the Mercatus Center is participating in this conference in Washington on strategy to combat certificate of need. And we'll get into this in the next segment when you return with us in the Doctor's Lounge. Stay with us.
The Docs for Patient Care Foundation is your way to join the fight and become a member of an organization created by doctors for patients, dedicated to fighting for your healthcare freedom and preserving the doctor-patient relationship. Get a pen and paper. Write down www.docsforpatientcarefoundation.org. That's www.docsforpatientcarefoundation.org. Go to our site and please make a generous tax-deductible donation and join the fight today. Thank you.
Coming soon, only on AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. The Insurance Deal.
The Docs for Patient Care Foundation is your way to join the fight and become a member of an organization created by doctors for patients, dedicated to fighting for your health care freedom and preserving the doctor-patient relationship. Get a pen and paper. Write down docsforpatientcarefoundation.org. That's D-O-C-S, the number 4, patientcarefoundation.org. Go to our site and please make a generous tax-deductible donation and join the fight today. Thank you.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back into the Doctor's Lounge. We've been talking with Matthew Mitchell from the Mercatus Center about Certificate of Need and why this is an important issue to you, how this is hurting you, how it is making health care less available and more expensive. Matt, I think that before I talk about our conference, I just want to go through just a couple of the other specious arguments, the arguments that the hospitals love to talk about, which they use to help justify continuing certificate of need. The one that I really love has to do with the fact that they're trying to say that if you diffuse healthcare outside of the major hospitals, you're actually making healthcare outcomes worse, because if you concentrate care in facilities that quote know what they're doing, that the outcomes will be better.
Yeah, that's right. And this is a slightly newer argument. And so the basic idea here is, remember, the certificate of need process does not assess the quality of caregivers. It's not about that. So how do they claim that it increases quality? Well, the basic idea is that, okay, if we have certificate of need, then there will be fewer healthcare providers, but that will mean that more procedures will be channeled through fewer facilities, and therefore the facilities and the people in those facilities will gain some expertise, and therefore they will be better providers. There's an element of paternalism here. I happen to live in a rural community in northern New Mexico, and the idea that I would be better off not having a facility at all, so that I could drive 200 miles to a city facility, I find a little paternalistic. But in any case, the theory is not terrible on its face, but it does apply against other pretty good theories, which are basically that competition tends to increase quality rather than decrease quality. So a colleague of mine, Thomas Stratman, conducted a study here a couple last year, and it's a really actually clever, very clean study that tries to get at some causal analysis. So what he did is he used the fact that in many states, hospital markets actually cross from there's communities where an entire market spans a con versus a non-con and a non-con state. And the nice thing about this is that when you do that kind of a study, you're able to control for all kinds of factors that are otherwise unobservable, that are difficult to see. So they did this careful design, and what they found is, first of all, the hospitals on the con side of the border did not have any higher quality care. But secondly, they actually found that on a number of dimensions, they seem to have lower quality care. So, for example, there seems to be higher readmission rates for certain kind of conditions and higher mortality rates. So deaths from treatable complications following surgery, mortality rates from heart failure, pneumonia, and heart attacks, all are statistically significantly higher on the con side of the border than on the non-con side of the border. They also looked at a subset of states that have require lots of certificates of need that require four or more. And they found among those states the same results held, but a few other factors showed up, such as even just the patient's subjective ratings of the hospitals. The patients on the con side of the border were statistically significantly less likely to rate their hospitals a 9 or a 10 relative to the non-con side of the border.
Well, you know, I think that what I'd like to do before we go on is just kind of summarize for everybody who is listening, who, again, may still be a little bit fuzzy about certificate of need and why this is an important concept, why it's important to them. I'd like to just kind of summarize this and put this into a neat little package. Certificate of need is a law that is giving large hospitals a market advantage and keeping competitors out of the marketplace, and that's resulting in monopolistic institutions. And when you have a monopoly, you have higher costs. There's no price transparency in large hospitals. Everybody knows that. They can go into the hospital. Two people can go into the hospital with the same problem and come out with two completely different bills for an identical procedure. So this is a big giant mess. The hospitals benefit, the patients don't, and those who hope to fix this problem by offering services at a lower cost, possibly a better product, better quality, better outcomes, they're prevented from doing it because of these laws. Is that pretty much a good summary, Matt?
I think that's a great summary, yeah.
and on top of it, there's evidence to show that there are alternatives that exist in non-CON states where the product is better, the quality is better, the outcomes are better, and the satisfaction is better. One that I love to talk about, and we've done this on this show numerous times, is a facility run by my good friend Keith Smith in Oklahoma City, the Surgery Center of Oklahoma. Are you familiar with that?
I am a little bit. As I understand it, he actually has the temerity to post prices, right?
Oh, my God. How dare he do that? Yes. He posts prices. So the patients can go to that website. They can look up the part of the body that is the area of interest. So let's just say that you have a shoulder issue and you put your mouse over the shoulder and a whole drop-down menu comes up with different shoulder procedures, and then you click on one of them and it tells you the procedure and it tells you the price. But what happens if they find that it's more than they said it was? It turns out to be a more extensive procedure and they have to do more. You think that the patient is going to get socked with a bill because there's some hidden charges? That's not the case. Whatever the cost that they tell you it's going to be is the cost, and they do mm-hmm. what needs to be done, what the right thing to do is. And guess what? They actually are fabulously profitable. Not only are they fabulously profitable, they've got board-certified doctors, great surgeons in Oklahoma City who are calling Keith on a regular basis begging to participate because people are calling from all over the country asking if they can book their surgery. And Keith has a list of surgeons that he looks at and matches up a surgeon with a patient. And this is what is possible but not achievable in states with certificate of need laws.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, the interesting thing, one of the more innovative arguments you run into, and it's a very common argument, is, well, look, maybe it would be great if we had a free market for healthcare, but we don't. And since we don't have a free market in healthcare, since there are all these other regulations that maybe will admit are bad, then we need this additional regulation. And, you know, they'll point to the fact that the price system doesn't operate very well in healthcare, and I absolutely agree it doesn't. They'll point to the fact that there are all sorts of distortions, and I absolutely agree that there are. But, you know, adding insult to injury is not really a good economic policy. The idea that just because we have interventions, you know, A through Y doesn't mean that we need to add one more Z.
Exactly, and that's very well said. And and what I have maintained and I have written is, you know, if we've got a bad system, we shouldn't look to find ways to strengthen that bad system. We should look for ways to maybe open up a channel for people who are looking for something better. And that's where getting rid of certificate of need laws would be very helpful. And so moving on with this, how have the efforts to try to fight back against certificate of need laws gone?
Well, you know, the interesting thing is most of the states that got rid of their certificates of need did so almost immediately when the federal statute went away. And then other states in drips and drabs have done it since then. It's interesting to look at some states like Pennsylvania that got rid of its certificate of need law. And there have been some people who said, you know, maybe we should bring it back. Perhaps to the chagrin of their colleagues in other states, the Pennsylvania Hospital Association actually opposes efforts to bring back certificate of need laws. They have adapted to the new situation, and, you know, at this point, now that they're no longer protected from competition, they're not really sure that they really want to have these laws anyway. There are a few states that are moving in the right direction. Last year, New Hampshire eliminated its certificate of need law. Just a couple months ago, West Virginia eliminated certificate of need for a couple procedures and did some reforms, not particularly ambitious reforms, but they were reforms. And there's about 15 states right now that are actively, you know, have pretty heated debates and are close to having some movement on this. Florida, for example, their House passed legislation that would have eliminated basically all of their certificate of need laws except for that for nursing homes. It never got a vote in the Senate before the end of the session. But the governor, the Speaker of the House, and the majority leader in the Senate, three gentlemen, I don't know Florida politics particularly well, but three gentlemen that, from what I understand, actually don't necessarily see eye to eye on a lot of things. They all agreed on the problems with certificate of need. So you do see a number of states where there seems to be some interest in reforming.
You know, the efforts to fight back against the entrenched interests who want to see certificate of need continue, those efforts have been entirely geared at the legislative approach, trying to prevail on the good nature of the legislators to do the right thing, or trying to make the arguments that Mercatus has so ably been able to help elucidate, to show that the previous arguments have been founded in fallacies and falsehoods. And so is there, I know that there are some lawsuits that are pending in some states, Georgia being one of them, which I wrote about at the beginning of the Wall Street Journal piece, a couple of obstetricians who are suing the state of Georgia over restraint to trade. Have there been any efforts that you know of from a legislative standpoint to fight back, or from a judicial standpoint?
You know, that's the one I was going to mention. There's an interesting phenomenon here. A lot of states have on the books provisions in the Constitution, that in the state Constitution, that in, you know, my non-lawyer reading of it, look like they make these things unconstitutional. They have various names. One of them is that I think is relevant in the Georgia case is something called a anti-monopoly clause, which basically says the legislature shall not pass any law which creates a monopoly or encourages cartelization. Other states have things called gift clauses, which say that the state cannot do anything that essentially grants a gift to a firm or an individual. We should actually promote the general welfare rather than the specific welfare of, you know, special interests.
You know what, Matt, we're at the hard break right now. We're going to get to the last segment in just a second. We'll finish that
Sounds
thought
good.
and finish this whole topic of certificate of need when we get back in the last segment in the Doctor's Lounge. So stay with us.
The Docs for Patient Care Foundation is your way to join the fight and become a member of an organization created by doctors for patients, dedicated to fighting for your healthcare freedom and preserving the doctor-patient relationship. Get a pen and paper. Write down www.docsforpatientcarefoundation.org. That's www.docsforpatientcarefoundation.org. Go to our site and please make a generous tax-deductible donation and join the fight today. Thank you.
Whether cruising the strip in a 57 Chevy or taking the family on a vacation in a 71 Oldsmobile Vista Cruiser, you need to tune in to Classic Cars with Steve Ronaldo and Jim Weber every Saturday from 8 to 9 a.m. on AmericasWebRadio.com.
Did you miss the show that you really wanted to hear? All of our programs are available for download on AmericasWebRadio.com and on iTunes. You can listen to your favorite programs on AmericasWebRadio.com anytime you like.
The Docs for Patient Care Foundation is your way to join the fight and become a member of an organization created by doctors for patients, dedicated to fighting for your healthcare freedom and preserving the doctor-patient relationship. Get a pen and paper. Write down docsforpatientcarefoundation.org. That's D-O-C-S, the number 4, patientcarefoundation.org. Go to our site and please make a generous tax-deductible donation and join the fight today. Thank you.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
Thanks for staying with us. This is Dr. Hal Schurz in the Doctor's Lounge on America's Web Radio. We are closing up our talk today with Matthew Mitchell from the Mercatus Center, George Mason University. We're talking about certificate of need, why this is important to you, why it is killing competition in healthcare, increasing costs, and decreasing access to care. Matt, I cut you off. We were talking about possible judicial challenges to CON, and you were talking about anti-monopoly.
Yeah, well, you know, it's just as well you did, because I don't claim to be a legal expert, but, you know, my understanding is that these statutes and provisions in the state constitutions, a plain text reading of them suggests that these things are unconstitutional in a lot of states. The curious thing is a lot of courts have basically adopted the policy or the practice of deferring to the legislatures and saying, you know, we don't want to second guess what the legislatures think, say is constitutional or not, and so if they want to do it, we'll just let them do it. So there are some cases right now, though, that are sort of testing that. The other thing I'd mention is there are other entities that are pushing back on this. At the beginning of our conversation, I mentioned that that antitrust authorities and the Department of Justice and the Federal Trade Commission are pretty active in pointing out whenever a state legislature is evaluating this, they can invite the FTC and the DOJ to come in and offer their opinion. And these are people who study they study monopolies, they study cartels, they have no interest, you know, financial interest in this, they're really a pretty impartial judges of this. And for several decades now, in both Democratic and Republican administrations, the FTC and the DOJ have taken the position that these things are anti-competitive.
You know, I think nobody knows about this because there is, first of all, it's very complicated. It is one of those topics that is, quote, in the weeds. And if people understood how this is hurting them, I think that this would really create quite a stir, and that's really what I'd like to end on. That's what we're trying to do. That's what Docs for Patient Care Foundation is attempting to do by trying to raise awareness and bring this issue to groups that don't even know about it. And two of the groups that don't, I think, really are being hurt. Are the primary losers because of certificate of need. That's the business community, and that's the patients. The patients themselves, who you said earlier, are hard to mobilize. It's easier to get a couple of large hospitals to throw some millions at legislators. Much harder to get the grassroots together to try to tell legislators why they think that these laws should be overturned.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think that's right. And, you know, one of the interesting things about this is the hospitals have come up with so many arguments for why Con is, you know, wonderful. And they are, you know, really happy to just shift to the next argument once the last one has been shown to be wanting in both theory and evidence. And so it's kind of like, you know, trying to debate Jell-O. It's just constantly a shifting ground, and it's they know the details of their industry pretty well, and so the typical consumer or would-be competitor just is sort of at a significant disadvantage.
It's the old adage. It's the old adage. If you can't dazzle them with your brilliance, baffle them with your BS. and so, you know, the groups that I, you know, the point that I think is important to make, and you've got to fight fire with fire, and the hospitals win because they have so much money and so much clout, and some, you know, and it's very hard, as you said. If you are going to win that battle, you've got to get an adversary that is just as powerful, just as influential, and I think that has been missing in the efforts thus far fighting CON. It's been done at the policy level, a little bit at the judicial level. You've got some doctor groups, some doctors who are trying to open up their own centers who are fighting. It's like tilting windmills.
Yep.
The group that's been missing that really is I think a bigger group than the hospitals is the business community. You know, 40% of businesses in this country are actually ERISA plans. They're self-insured. And when you sit down with businessmen and explain to them that their healthcare costs, which is often the single largest line item on their P&L, if you that's their profit and loss statement, for those of you, as Rush Limbaugh says in Real Linda, and you explain to them that wouldn't you just love to see your healthcare costs come down? Well, don't you think if you had increased competition, you had lower cost alternatives to hospitals? Because right now what's happening is healthcare is being driven into the most expensive place in the healthcare delivery system, which is the hospitals. And so,
right.
And so if you have... Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, if we can talk about costs, I think that'd be really nice, because the argument there is particularly specious in my view. So, you know, imagine that there's a rule that says you are going to limit the supply of any product. I don't care if it's pizza or cars or coronary bypass surgery. Basic economics says that's a supply shift, a supply restriction that is going to raise the per unit cost.
Exactly.
So when you think of cost as a human, we intuitively think of cost in per unit terms. What's the cost of a well child checkup? What is the cost of a coronary bypass surgery? And we need to think of it in per unit terms because we have to think about what's the value that I as a patient get in return for the sacrifice of my dollars.
Right.
Now, anybody who's taken Econ 101 knows that a supply restriction is going to raise the per unit cost. So how could they possibly make this argument? Well, what they do is they actually shift. They don't talk in per unit terms. They talk in total spending terms. Now, this is a little different. This is not saying how much is a well child checkup. It's saying how much does my family spend on all well child checkups in a year? How much does my family spend on health care in a year? Now, when you shift to talking about total spending, it is theoretically possible that a supply restriction might reduce it. And the reason why is pretty intuitive. If there's only one, you know, if there's a supply restriction on pizza shops and there's only one pizza shop in town, yes, the average pie might go up. The price of the pie might go up to $100 a pie. But it's also possible my family will spend a whole lot less on pizza because, one, the price per pie is higher, and two, there aren't as many pizza shops around. I don't have access to it. But no one would ever pretend, even if my family did spend less on pizza, no one would ever pretend that we were better off for that. It's quite obvious that what economists call consumer surplus, but what normal people would just call, you know, the family's welfare, it goes down when you have less access to a product that people want, and when the access you do have to it, it leads to higher prices. But this is the essential sort of trick that they make. And so they will go to, self-insured employers, and they'll say, oh, you might end up spending less on healthcare. That's theoretically possible because you might end up restricting your employees' access to care and leading them with only expensive options, and so or per unit costs that are higher. That's the argument. And they sometimes are able to convince fiscally conservative state legislators of this argument, but it doesn't hold up. Now, the interesting thing is I looked at 40 years of studies on this. I've looked at over two dozen studies of the effect of con on healthcare. Even though it's theoretically possible that you might spend less if you, in a given year on healthcare if you have a supply restriction, doesn't show up in the data. It's also, of course, theoretically possible you could spend more, and it turns out that empirically, the balance of evidence suggests that states spend more per patient per year when they have con rather than when they do not.
Well, you know, Matt, this has been a great show. We're at the end of the show. We've taken a topic that's really difficult to talk about, and I think we've broken it down quite well and explained for people why they should care about certificate of need. We're gonna follow up on this show after our meeting in Washington, which I think is going to be terrific and really raise awareness. So I want to thank you and all of the work that you've done at Mercatus. How can people learn about the work that you're doing at Mercatus?
Sure. Just go to mercatus.org. It's mercatus.org. And there you can search for Certificate of Need, and you'll find about a half a dozen studies assessing the effect of Certificate of Need on all sorts of things that humans might want, like access to care and lower cost and higher quality.
Great. And I highly commend all the work that you've done to everybody who's listening. Matt, thanks for being with us today. I enjoyed it, and I hope you did too. And great. And thanks for staying with us, and look forward to seeing you next time in the Doctor's Lounge. This is your host, Dr. Hal Scherer, signing off. Thanks again.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
The Docs for Patient Care Foundation is your way to join the fight and become a member of an organization created by doctors for patients, dedicated to fighting for your health care freedom and preserving the doctor-patient relationship. Get a pen and paper. Write down docsforpatientcarefoundation.org. That's D-O-C-S, the number 4, patientcarefoundation.org. Go to our site and please make a generous tax-deductible donation and join the fight today. Thank you.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.